Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome, welcome back to another episode of the For the Healthy House podcast.
We talk about conscious living, self-awareness, and everything in between.
I'm your host, Ree.
Sunset Tim.
Thank you for joining us and allowing us to be a part of your journey.
Smooth.
I'm looking at you upside down. It's actually getting really weird.
Upside down?
Yes, I mean.
It's to the side.
No, it's upside down, though. We literally upside down, though. Your face is upside down to me, though.
I guess so. It ain't that weird to me.
How are you?
I'm good. I don't mean to get too deep about how I'm doing, but today I woke up in a lesson of abundance. I feel like that's what my life is in right now. I feel like we all speak and ask for abundance, but abundance comes with so much discipline. You know what I mean? Like, you can ask for to be limitless in categories or have more than enough for yourself, but when you actually get it, are you responsible enough to actually deal with abundance?
True.
And today I realized, of course, I still got work to do with abundance and my responsibility with it, but I think I handled it pretty well today. But I'm just thinking back on other times in my life that we don't speak about how abundance is such a it's a challenge for real. It's a trial.
Yeah,
it really is a trial to be given a lot. Takes responsibility to actually handle it.
Agree.
You know, I felt like the other times in my life I didn't handle it well, but right now I'm at least conscious of handling it well. I think that's the biggest difference. I'm conscious of it.
I agree, and I feel like abundance in itself is a mindset before it can be a tangible thing. And so, I think a lot of times when we do receive tangible abundance, our mindset isn't necessarily always in an abundance mindset. And so when it's not, if it's in lack, you don't know how to handle that abundance, and you don't have that discipline that you talked about. Yeah. When it comes to handling and nurturing the abundance that is rightfully yours. You feel me?
I do. How you feeling?
You know, how am I feeling? I actually feel really good.
Awesome, brother.
I feel good about life. This week it's been a busy one. It's been a really busy one. But I'm grateful. I'm tired, but I'm grateful. And I'm excited for the weekend to get some rest. But ultimately, I'm just feeling really blessed and grateful, because I think sometimes I take for granted the life that is ours. You know what I'm saying? Like, sometimes we can get so used to things, especially as human beings, our little short-term, like, I guess, what's the word I'm looking for?
The little pleasures of life.
Yeah, like the satisfaction. Like, I feel like as human beings, we get bored with stuff fast. That's really what I'm trying to say. So I think sometimes we can take for granted the blessings in our life. So I'm really feeling very grateful for all that I have, for all that I don't, and for all the beings that I come in contact with, and all my connections, all the people that I love. You know?
Facts. Don't ask us how we doing.
Don't ask us how we doing, because we're going to tell you for real.
Don't ask me.
Don't ask me. Don't give me no good.
You know what I'm going to do. You ain't got time to hear me out for how I'm really doing. Don't ask me how I'm doing.
Exactly. Don't ask.
But I do got time for y'all. How y'all been?
How are y'all doing? Take a deep breath. Inhale through your nose. Exhale through your mouth. Remember, you are alive. You are experiencing life. Check in with you.
It's meditation, Ree.
Yeah. I feel like this is podcast. I mean, you know, you got to get into different modes.
Yeah, I feel you on that. Okay. With all the acquaintances and all this shit out the way, what are we rapping about today?
Today we're talking about the fundamentals of spirituality. And spoiler alert.
Oh.
We're not going to tell you how to be your spiritual selves. I think that is...
That's a good one to say.
Yeah, I think that as human beings, it's easier. Like, we be wanting people to tell us how to do things, how to live life. It's easy. We don't want to think. We already had to think about a million things, you know what I'm saying? And it's just, it's easier for people to tell you exactly what to do. If it can feel easier.
Yeah, but spirituality don't got no...
Yeah, and we're not here to tell y'all what to do. We're not here to tell y'all how to be your spiritual selves.
Yeah.
We just here to talk about our experiences and how we feel.
Yeah, you know, what eases one person's soul may not work for the next.
Exactly.
So it's very, spirituality is very custom.
It's an individualistic journey, you know?
Yeah, to each spirit they own.
Yes.
So what is spirituality like? When you say that, what does that mean to you? I've never actually even asked myself how to break that word down.
You know, what's funny is that whenever I started this journey back to myself, because honestly, that's what I feel spirituality is. It's a getting reacquainted, reconnecting with your spiritual selves. Because as we've all heard many times before, we're both humans, we're spiritual beings having a human experience. And I think that sometimes we get distracted in this human experience. We get sidetracked by, you know, earthly things. Mm-hmm.
Cars, clothes.
Yeah.
Clothes, all that.
And I think it can be easy, especially if you don't have people in your life, especially as a young child. If you don't have people in your life who have spiritual practices, I think it can get easy to distance yourself away from your spiritual self. So for me, spirituality is about reconnecting back to my spiritual self, reminding myself who I am. But as I was saying, whenever I first started this journey, I didn't even consider myself spiritual. It's funny because sometimes it takes other people to tell us who we are.
Yeah, like to show us something.
Yeah, sometimes it does. Like, we don't realize because we are with ourselves every single day, and these things seem kind of mundane to us.
Facts.
So sometimes it takes other people to tell you, oh, I noticed this about you. You're this. You're that. But I didn't consider myself spiritual. I didn't consider myself a spiritual person. I had reached a point in my life where I was just like, what the fuck? Like, I had to pretty much find myself again, because as I said in the beginning, pretty much since I was born until I was 23 years old, everything was mapped out. It was all planned out. I had my mom, people in my life telling me what to do, telling me how to do things. But when you remove yourself, and naturally, like as we grow into adults, we remove a lot of times from situations like that where people are telling us what we should do and how we should do things. And so I was in a space where I was kind of just living my life on my own.
That freedom, that abundance I speak about.
Yeah. And it was in that moment, like, it's crazy because it got dark.
Mm-hmm.
It got dark first. And in that dark, I had to find a light. And the light was me. It was my spiritual self. It was remembering who I am and continuing to, I guess, just really understanding that this journey is a lifelong journey. And through it all, through the human experience, remembering to stay connected to my spiritual self.
Is spirituality to you?
Yes, that's spiritual. That long-winded answer, but yeah, that's spirituality. Yeah. In a nutshell, just reconnecting and remembering myself and the higher power, the higher consciousness that is within me. What about you? What is spirituality to you?
Well, so it's such a hard thing to define.
Yeah.
But spirituality, like when you talk about the word, when I hear the word spirituality, I think the first thing is mental. It comes next for me. just like mentality. Okay. It's like how you live.
Okay.
I feel like spirituality, when a person is actually spiritual, it's just a person who kind of lets their inner energy guide their decisions.
Yeah.
That's what spirituality is to me. So when you talk about, when somebody mentions, oh, that's a spiritual person, for me, that just means that when they make decisions, they think about how it affects them spiritually. Their energy, how will their energy, the thing that, you know, man cannot create, how is that going to be affected by this decision?
Yeah.
That's what a spiritual person is to me. Because anything outside of that, then you just making decisions on mental or out of survival mode.
Yeah.
Or whatever it might be. I think relying on your core energy is spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it means to be a spiritual person. And like you, for me, I had the abundance for a long time, though. Like, I wasn't really guided like you was as a kid. Nobody told me what to do, when to do it. I had no curfew when I was like 14, 15, like.
Crazy.
Crazy. Like, I had no curfew or nothing like that. I knew to come home at a good time during the week. But if I walked in the house at 10, my mama wasn't finna yell at me. 10:30, 11 on a Thursday. She wasn't finna yell at me. Like, yeah. I wasn't getting yelled at for none of that. So I had the abundance early on. And it just kind of left me unguided because I wasn't listening. I ain't know nothing about spirituality. I knew I was alive, but I didn't know the spiritual energy that was keeping me alive. I didn't know it at that age, the tender age of 15 and 16. Even when I got older, 19, 20, 21, like, I knew I had it. I knew what a spirit was. They talk about the Holy Ghost and shit.
I was thinking about church, because I was going to ask you, did you have any people in your life who you felt like were spiritual?
No, I ain't had no spiritual people in my life. That's why I was saying, like, I didn't have no spiritual guidance. Nobody talked about that. I didn't come from a big church family.
That's what I was about to say. We went, mm-hmm. we used to go to church. No, no. And I remember them catching, like, the Holy Ghost. And being a kid, of course, I was scared. I was like, what are they? They look possessed. And now being an adult and remembering what it is that I was witnessing, that was a spiritual experience.
Yeah.
That was definitely
you
like.
You think the real I don't, when I used to see people do it, I still to this day don't think it's like the Holy Ghost. I just think it's your spirit just like you unleashing it, letting it take over your body.
Yeah, it's a release ceremony. Yeah. It's the releasing
a
practice.
Release ceremony.
Yeah.
We should sell that.
I think it's a thing. I don't think I made it.
We can't sell release. What'd you call it? A spirit? What'd you call it?
A release ceremony.
A release ceremony. I'm giving them out to anybody that's looking for a release ceremony.
Okay, God.
They're saying like 1099s.
$10.99.
It's gonna be fast. $10.99.
You out of there.
Gonna put a little water on your face.
No,
holy water.
We're not selling spirituality. I can't stand you.
That's what they used to. Do you remember on BET at late night they sell like spiritual water? Like, I bought this water and I splashed it, and the lady would be like, she won a lotto or some shit like that. Do you remember those?
I was asleep.
Oh well. You don't remember. If you do remember that, you know what I'm talking about. The holy water they used to sell on BET after Uncut came out.
I was definitely asleep. I don't remember that. But that just remembering that definitely was a spiritual experience for sure.
Seeing somebody kiss the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
I feel like the spirit knows better than we do. Mm-hmm. It don't be wanting to let go of things until we fully have felt the entire experience,
mm-hmm.
and we know how we really are settled in from that event or from that person. Like I said earlier, spirituality is consciousness, and when I think about consciousness in my life, I feel like I've had conscious moments, but this is like it's like different levels of consciousness.
Agreed.
Like I was in survival mode for the longest. You, me, mm-hmm. half the fucking world.
Exactly.
And in survival mode, there's a level of consciousness that you have, right? And it's just like awareness, though. Like, when you're in survival mode, you're aware. Like, you're aware of everything that's going to hurt you.
What you focusing on. Yeah,
but that's it though. That's really where the consciousness be stopping at. It don't be like you're not feeling everything, because feeling is a level of consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
But when you in survival mode, all you got is awareness. It's like driving. Some motherfuckers, you know, be unaware on the road, so you have to have double awareness. Like, you just really trying to protect yourself in between point A and B.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Survival mode is just like that with consciousness.
Yeah. Unfortunately, so many of us are in survival mode based on, like, you know, experiences that we had and trauma. And I think, like you just said, being in survival mode, it stops us from actually being able to experience our spiritual selves.
Because, I mean, survival mode, you just really talking about preservation, preserving the body, excuse me.
Yeah.
You just want to survive literally to the next day. You just literally looking for a meal. You looking for something to keep your body going. You're not necessarily pausing to feel or anything like that. When I was in survival mode, I think back to when we were living in the section, the Sunset Projects.
Yeah.
That's partially where I got my name from.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't know that. We lived in the Sunset Projects. That was like pure survival mode. I had no idea about like spirituality, none of that. We used to wake up every morning. I just remember this. We used to wake up every morning. I just thought about this yesterday. I'd go in the kitchen with a shoe.
Yeah, be a roach.
Because I knew, like, if someone kept the kitchen light on, I had to kill a roach. So it was I was in such survival mode. My morning routine was to go to the kitchen with a fucking shoe.
But what's crazy, though, when we were living that experience, it really didn't feel like survival mode.
It didn't.
And the thing about survival mode, though, is that, yes, it's a physical thing, but it's actually more of a mental thing than it is a physical thing. And before you can get out of a physical reality of survival mode, you have to get out of survival mode in a mental space. Because I think you can have survival mode isn't limited to physicalities. You can have tangible abundance, but I think your mind can still be in survival mode. Your mind can still be in a place of lack.
Yeah. I don't think any amount of abundance, physical abundance on earth, brings forth true happiness.
Yeah, agreed.
And that, again, it's a spiritual thing, though, that they're doing. Like, they're trying to take care of themselves, and they believe that, you know, chasing physical abundance is going to take care of them.
Yeah, they believe it's going to fill a void. That's what they're trying to do, is fill a void. Mm-hmm. But the only thing, I mean, we know that it's connecting back to who you truly are. Yeah. That's the only thing that's going to fill a void. And earlier you said something like starting where you are. I agree with that. But I think sometimes it's important to go back. I think it's important to deal with wounds and trauma that affects the being that you are today. Mm-hmm. And something I learned about trauma too is that
when I say start where you are, it didn't mean you couldn't handle past things. It just means that, okay, you want to handle past things, if the only way you know how to do it right now is to scream and yell your point across on how you felt, then I mean, that's how we gonna get it across today.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? It just means starts where you are. You ain't developed, if you haven't developed enough emotional awareness or enough to get your point across without yelling, then I mean, fuck it, today that's all we have. So that's the only thing you can use. That's what I mean when you say start where you are.
I understand that.
You know what I mean?
I love screaming though. Like, you do, and like, I mean, yeah, not at people. No, I'm just,
no, you like yelling at me.
Okay.
You do. You like to argue with me. She like to argue, y'all. That's for sure.
And I'm just saying, like, we need to just normalize just screaming sometimes. Like, just releasing, because really that's what we need to do. It's just release the things that don't serve us. But going back to trauma, I've been kind of reading The Myth of Normal. And I mean, when I say kinda, I really mean kinda.
Yes, sir.
I really mean kinda. And I was just, it's really a good book so far, though. And it was just saying that trauma isn't what happens to you, it's what happens inside of you.
Yeah, I remember you saying
that. I was like, whoa.
Yeah, yeah.
Wowzers.
Yeah.
Is that your hand?
Yes, it is.
Oh, my God.
Girl, just go ahead. I wouldn't reach for your hand, but that's fine.
Okay. Cool for your hand. But because of that trauma and those past experiences, like I said before, we aren't able to experience our spiritual selves. And that leaves us in survival mode. And when you haven't dealt with those things, from those traumas, I think that's a spiritual process.
Yeah. As we say again, everything is spiritual. Everything you do in this life is spiritual.
Yeah.
I think, do you remember when you had your first spiritual, like, moment? Like, you just remember, like, damn, I do got a soul in this motherfucker. I can remember mine vividly.
What's yours?
We was living on campus. And I can't exactly remember what provoked me. Of course, you got into spirituality and shit before I did. And you started meditating before me, too.
Mm-hmm.
And you told me, like, babe, man, you need to try meditating.
Mm-hmm.
You really need to try this. And I have always had bad anxiety. Back then, it was the worst. It was, like, very bad back then. Social anxiety. But around this time, my specific anxiety was around, what's it called? Hypochondria. I was a hypochondriac.
Oh, yeah.
I consistently thought something was wrong with me.
Yeah. Poor baby.
Yes, around the time I was very bad with it. WebDM. Was getting
WebMD.
Web what is it called?
WebMD.
WebDM?
WebMD, like medical doctor. MD. WebMD.
WebMD. I was giving them good business.
don't. If you ever feeling anything, don't go to WebMD.
Oh, my mama, I know about cancers of the... It's cancers in places I didn't even know you can get cancer in.
Yeah.
I ain't even gonna get into that. You don't want to know the dark side of going on there and looking up symptoms. But yes, I was on there all the time. I've never really felt at peace in my body until one day I shut the door to the room. And I think the only thing lit was like a candle. I did do it look real dramatic, like, but I wanted to, though. I wanted the dramatics. So I cut all the lights off.
Sometimes we need the dramatics.
Sometimes you need them. Cut the lights off. I put one candle on. And I just sat there. Thoughts was racing at first, and then... But like the first time, I probably was like, I had to been about 27, cause Zuri was born.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere around 27, for the first time, I didn't hear anything, I didn't think anything, and I kinda didn't feel anything. And that is when I first felt my soul.
Oh, I thought you were saying my name, but you saying you got reacquainted with yourself.
Yeah, I got reacquainted with myself. Okay. I said Reed, and he was like, oh, Reed, yeah. Anyways, yes, I got reacquainted with my soul, and it was brief as fuck. It was like...
It do be brief.
It was like 3 little seconds, maybe 1, 2, 3. But them 3 seconds changed everything for
and
me.
It scares you, though, because it's almost like out of body. Like, whoa.
It didn't scare me the first time.
It be scaring me
it
sometimes.
Didn't scare me. I found myself again, and from that point on, it took a little time, but I cured myself of the hypochondriacness through meditation.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, I really thought I was good for the rest of my life.
Oh, my mama. I remember you saying that.
I was like, yeah, I'm good for the rest of my life. I'm good. Mental health wise, I ain't got to like meditate again.
You just did it once and
I just meditated.
It's over.
Yeah, I'm good.
What you mean I got to meditate? I just meditated last month.
Oh, my mama. That's what it felt like. I did it once. Like, it was a wrap. But, yeah, when I got awoken to me, it was around 27. Re-woke to myself.
Mm-hmm.
It was around 27. I felt my spirit again. And I've been, I guess, chasing that feeling. And I always get it when I listen to my inner self.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you had a little more time in your day, what's one thing that you do?
I'm definitely going with meditating.
I feel that.
Free my thoughts up, free my mind up, and unleash my creativity a little more. Meditation would definitely be my goal.
I feel that. For me, I think I would paint more, get a little more creative. That's what I really love about therapy. It helps you realize what matters to you the most. Through therapy, I've learned so much about myself. I've been able to revisit some things in the past that kind of get in the way of me living up to my full potential and getting to know myself on a deeper level. this journey within itself can be a very difficult one, and just having somebody you can talk to, someone you can confide in, makes it so much easier, and it makes it feel like you're not alone.
Therapy has been on your mind, give BetterHelp a try. Everything is entirely online. You can do it from your laptop, your phone. It's completely convenient. To get started, all you do is fill out a quick questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. And you can switch therapists at any time, no charge. Everything is catered to you.
Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/FTHH today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/FTHH. Yeah.
Do you remember yours?
Okay, so.
You was on shrooms in Jamaica.
I wish. I can remember a few times.
Yeah.
Do you remember whenever I was reading the book, You Are a Badass? And although, like, I wasn't necessarily meditating.
That book blew your mind.
I was like, because I was just like, I've been going about this all wrong. I've been looking at the world all wrong.
Yeah, me too.
Especially when, like, there was a part in the book that she was just like, I've said this before, but she was just saying, like, you know, put the book down and.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I'm saying it. I'm doing it.
Not this.
Put the book down and look at all the things that are yellow.
Right.
And I couldn't find nothing yellow.
Mm-hmm.
Because I wasn't focused on what was yellow. I think prior to that, she told us to look at everything that was blue. I can't really remember. But basically, the moral, the message of that is that if you're going to find whatever it is that you're looking for.
Yes.
And I was just like, whoa. Like, I didn't realize how powerful I was.
And it blew your mind because you couldn't find nothing yellow. But
and the book, you know, was fucking book, yellow.
Yeah, if you know that book, You Are a Badass, is a yellow
it's
book.
It's yellow.
Yeah. So that part blew your mind. I
was just like, whoa.
I came home from FedEx.
You was working at PedEx. That's what our daughter called it.
Called it PedEx.
PedEx.
I was working at PedEx and you told me that shit. It didn't blow my mind like it blew your mind, but I was very happy for you because, nigga, you was at all for the rest of the month.
Because I'm just like, no, because I don't think we realize how much power lies within us. Literally, whatever you give your attention to, it expands. And that blew my mind, especially because I was in such a dark space in my life at that point. And it just seemed like nothing, absolutely nothing in my life was going as expected. Nothing was going, quote unquote, right. And I was just like, damn, I've been focusing on all that was bad. I haven't been really paying attention to the fact that I have somewhere to live. I have a meal. I have a family who loves me, who I love. Like, and I think about that. I thought about that the other day. Because, again, sometimes our life feels so mundane and we forget about the gentle, the subtle things that the abundance in our life, like having a family that you love and that loves you deeply, I was gonna say authentically, unconditionally,
yeah.
That is a blessing. Because I was thinking about when growing up, I didn't have that. I didn't experience that. Not a mama and a daddy who loved each other. To this day, they still have a toxic ass relationship that they try to bring me in the middle of. We ain't gonna get into that, but my point is, things like that make me feel really grateful for what it is that I do have, for my family. Not everybody has that.
No, when I saw your mom and daddy relationship, it made me grateful for my mom and dad's relationship. I got to see love at a really young age.
You did.
Briefly, I really did. I got to see heartbreak at a really young age as well, too.
Mm-hmm.
All of it gave me a perspective on life that I don't think I could have got with no other set of parents.
Yeah.
Shout out to Tony and shout out to Tim.
Shout out to Tony and Tim. But my second time that I can remember is that we were actually living with my mom. And I had really just embarked on getting reacquainted with myself. And something, a background that I really come from is, like, as we talked about a few weeks ago, not really allowing myself to feel.
Okay.
And I was at a space in my life where, for the first time, I had actually experienced struggle. to an extent, because again, like I said, it was all mapped out. People was telling me what I should do, how to do this thing. And for the first time in my life, I was experiencing struggle. And I in a sense, tried to run away from that feeling. I tried to run away from that struggle. But I sat down and meditated, and I just cried. I just cried and was able to really release all of those, I guess, that resistance.
Yeah.
I was able to release all of that and have a conversation with myself and with God. And in that moment, I knew that I was okay.
I was okay.
I knew that I would be okay.
Yes. Another point, I mean, when you was talking, just made me think about this. I think sometimes when we think about starting a spiritual journey or a healing journey, I think that the media has spent it to where...
Talk. I already know where you had it.
Oh, my God. You love it. You love to get on the media ass anytime. You love to get on society's ass.
I do.
That it's going to be a very peaceful journey. I believe that people think that once you like become conscious that you want to do it, you just like start doing things. You just start to feel so much better. In all actuality, sometimes like once you rip the Band-Aid off, it gets a lot worse.
It get worse, yeah.
Because almost picture yourself in a dark room. And then starting a spiritual journey is like turning the flashlight on. And then you see a big ass monster over there. You immediately cutting that bitch off, or you running, like,
yeah,
either one.
Mm-hmm.
But the actual journey is getting acquainted with that big scary motherfucker over there.
That's
what it's like. You know what I mean? I think what made me think about with that when you brought up you brought up your mom and dad. I brought up mine. Brought up my childhood. When I was a kid, I used to be so scared of like house noises at night. The refrigerator click on. You be like, what the. Any little noise in the house, you know what I mean?
Y'all mans is scary.
Yeah, I'm scared about sleep. I'm scared about a nigga coming to get me in my sleep.
No one's coming to get you.
I know now, though, but for a long period of my life, I always thought somebody was coming to get me when I went to sleep. You ever, like, notice, like, people be like, when they turn all the lights off in the house, they run into their room and, like...
I love the dark.
You love the dark. You a weird person sometimes.
I love the dark.
I like the dark with a little light.
He like a nightlight. And that's I do. Okay.
I'm a grown man that likes a little nightlight.
We got a new clock that lights up.
Oh, and I keep it on at night. I love it.
I be having a turn. I thought I'd be making sure he's sleep because it'll keep me up. I need it dark.
But it ain't like I'm scared of the dark. I love the ambiance of like fire burning.
Are you
like a candle? Like a candle burning in a dark room.
I feel that.
That's just like so peaceful to me. You know what I'm saying?
I feel that, baby.
That's what I be chasing. But yeah, spirituality is like that, bro. You put that flashlight on, it's a big ass monster in the room.
I agree. And we're afraid the monster.
Okay. I was just gonna say. And that big ass monster is a part of you.
I was just gonna say that. Oh my God.
That monster, he not scary. He's a part of you. Like embracing.
Yeah, it's reflective.
Embracing the bad is just as important as embracing the good, because we don't know what's good unless we know what's bad, and we don't know what's bad unless we know what's good.
Yeah,
you get what I'm saying?
Ditto on that dog.
Ditto.
I was gonna say that.
You was?
Yeah, I was literally gonna say we be like, it was just what you said was so symbolic. Like you put a flashlight. That's what a healing journey and spirituality looks like. It's putting a flashlight on all the darker parts of you, because in order to go deep, you have to understand and explore all parts of you. And that shit, it gets scary. Like that monster you put the flashlight on.
Yeah.
It gets scary, and we tend to run away from that. And when we do that, we're running away from ourselves. And we, in return, never even learn about who we are. All these dark parts of ourselves. And darkness, it has a bad rap.
It do.
Because I feel like anything, because we are miracles, the fact that we exist is a miracle. And I think the dark sides of you has positives to it. There is some light in the darkness within you.
Yeah, it all works together. I think that as humans, we try to value people based on the good in them.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't necessarily try to value people based on the bad. I actually do, and I think I tried to explain it to you once, but like,
explain it to me again.
I explained it to you again. Like, even the bad sides of Re are positives for me, because somebody else's bad sides I just can't deal with.
Okay.
So the shit is just like, even the shit that your partner or your family might put you through, as long as it ain't like damaging to you spiritually or mentally or physically, you should accept them, because we are all born with good and bad.
Agreed.
Some of us just don't embrace the bad that much. I got badness in me. I have a bad tendency of one-trackness.
Yeah.
And I know my wife gets tired of it. She'll tell me something. Like, we having chicken parmesan for dinner. I swear to you, 10 minutes later, I will ask this woman.
And first of all, I've never cooked chicken parmesan for dinner. What?
Yeah. I know we vegan and everything, but that was the first food that came to my mind. And I will 10 minutes later ask her, what are we having? You'll be like, I just told you. And it hurts my feelings when it feels like you're not listening.
It does. And but you know what's crazy though? What? Because that's one of my things. It triggers me because I felt like I wasn't listened to as a child.
I know.
So it triggers like that inner child in me, and it makes me sad.
I know, but see, I try to listen better. I do.
But this keeps happening.
It's a part of me though. My one, and they go to the positive side, my one trackness helps me focus in on things and get shit done too though. So it has its good sides, it has its bad sides, but either way go, my wife, she married a motherfucker, so she accepted it.
I guess so. And within relationships, like you said, it's all about what you're willing to accept.
I'm just thinking about other things that like the fundamentals of spirituality: acceptance, grace, forgiving yourself. Another one, a big one for me, is responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
I think that so many people are irresponsible with their wellness.
Mm.
They think that another person is in charge of it. A place. I need to move and get out of here. And ain't no place in the world responsible for your happiness. Ain't a person. It's not a product that they selling. Even if you see me sell you something, that thing ain't responsible for any happiness in you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We have sponsors on the podcast, so I'm not here to tell you that people don't make useful devices that can aid you. I'm not saying that, but it ain't no one item in the world you gonna buy and you just gonna be straight
without
doing the work.
Yeah, without doing the work. Yeah, agree with that 100%.
So responsibility. I'm trying to like gather the time period where I really started to take responsibility. And it was like 4 years ago, I think, I started to take real responsibility of my wellness. I was journaling,
mm-hmm.
meditating. It was like a daily practice. I was just really taking the responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually made a mistake in taking my responsibility. I added too much weight.
Yeah.
During that time period, to the point where I had to stop everything. I kind of cracked a little bit because I was just doing too much journaling, meditating, and every other practice that was out there. I was doing all of them at once. I had added too much.
Yeah.
So everything got to be custom.
For sure.
To who you are. Like we said in the beginning, you know, spirituality is different on every person.
And understand also what worked for you. Like,
yes.
What worked for you at that season of your life may not work for you in another season of your life. Like, you are a changing, evolving, transforming being.
Sure.
So what worked for me last week might not work for me tomorrow.
I was consistently journaling for 3 years and I have not journaled in almost 2.5.
You journaled for 3 years?
Yeah, I got it. I was just looking at them the other day. I journaled for 3 years and I just stopped. And I was good though. I've been good. And it was the right thing to do. It felt like I was taking away from the moment just to go journal. And then I stopped. For me personally, it helped out. Stopping the journal helped me like be more into the moment.
Yeah.
And forget the past a little bit, because that's what I was working on, trying to forget the past. It helped me be in the moment a little more, like you said. But for another person, journaling might be exactly what you need.
Exactly. And like, it's just making me think about, well, I have two things to say. I'm going to do one at a time, obviously. Responsibility. I think it's important to take responsibility of your wellness, your spiritual being. But I think something that I'm just now beginning to take responsibility of is my emotional wellness. I feel like, now, of course, don't get me wrong, people in my life do things to make me, to evoke certain emotions. But I think sometimes I can get into blaming mode, into victim mode, and not handle my emotions how they need to be handled. Like, I can kind of make you, like, just being transparent, I can almost, I used to make you responsible for my emotions. For, I maybe, did you feel that?
I can see it now, but back then, I thought that, like, I thought I needed to step it up or do something.
And it wasn't, you know, your responsibility.
Yeah.
Like, I would feel sad, or, and I would think, like, he's my partner, this is his responsibility, you know, to make me feel better. And it's never been your responsibility. Like, and even sometimes, like, you know, I'll get quiet or I'll be alone and you'll be like, you okay? And I remember telling you last week, I was just like, I don't know if you remember this. I was just like, I just want to make sure I'm being responsible for my own emotions. Like, I don't want to put that on you. I want to be able to process this, because even, like, I think it was the night before last, I had had a conversation or something happened with my mom, and I thought I was good. I was like, I'm good. Like, I'm okay. And he was like, are you sure? That day, I was like, yeah, I'm good. I'm fine. And then the next, later that night, I kind of like had an attitude towards everybody in the house. Like, I was like, do you remember that? I was like, oh my God, I just stepped in fucking water.
And y'all
was like, Mom, what's going on?
Big bro, what's happening?
And what did I say? I still at that point wasn't realizing.
He was like, y'all say shit all the time.
I was like, y'all say stuff all the time. Like, y'all would be did the same thing if y'all would have stepped in some water. And then that morning, I woke up and I was like, baby, which was yesterday morning, I was like, I'm sorry. I was just like, I tried to not feel a way about this situation with my parents. And I was like, I was kind of embarrassed for feeling away. And he was like, it would be weird if you didn't feel away.
Yeah, it would, man.
So I had to sit with those emotions. And my point is, when you're not responsible for your emotions, shit like that happens. You start going off on people the people that aren't responsible and the people that aren't even the cause of you feeling that way in the first place. Because really who I wanted to go off was my mama.
Yeah.
That's why I wanted to go off. But yeah, so I had to say that about responsibility. And then what was the other thing? Oh, the other thing, when you mentioned, you know, you were doing all of these things.
Yeah.
Okay? Because I'm finna get on society. I'm finna get on the media.
Oh, yeah.
You have to use discernment when you're going on social media. You'll see these girls, guys, whoever, doing a 50-step morning routine.
Yeah.
And I learned from myself, personal experience, just like you, that's exhausting.
Oh, gang.
It is exhausting, and it was not serving me, because I'm someone who used to journal every single day. And I still journal. I mostly audio journal now. Mm-hmm. But you have to slow it down and do it how it works for you. Again, it's important to use discernment. Like I said before, we want people to tell us exactly how to do these things. Yeah. We see this person doing all this stuff, and it's like, oh, Ree's doing all these things, and she seems great. I should do this, I'll be great, too.
Yeah.
And it's just like, no.
It's like, get the 5-minute journal, and you'll be well in 5 minutes.
You hear me? And nah, man, you have to literally, these journeys are individualistic journeys. You are an individualistic being.
Baby.
An individual being.
Go off.
You're an individual being, so your journey should be catered to you. What works for me is having a few non-negotiables. Like, I know for me, I got to move. It's like, and it's all about knowing yourself, too.
Yeah.
I know if I don't move my body, I'm going to feel away, like, whether it's running or doing a simple stretch.
Yeah, I'm with you on it, too.
I got to move my body, because with that, you're releasing so much. You're giving your body what it needs. And just movement is just such a mind, body, soul experience. I know I got to drink me some water. I know I got to stay off my phone. That's really it. It's that simple for me. I know I got to eat something nutritious, which is more than likely a smoothie.
Yeah, I think a lot of times when we don't take responsibility, like you said, we start to blame everybody around us.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things you said was like, I think that when people don't take responsibility for their emotions. They start to do shit like, why am I not happy with them? Like, they start to say they not happy with their partner.
Mm.
And really, you just not happy and they happen to be there as well. Mm. You're not happy with yourself and they just happen to be there, so they catching the blame.
That's a good
really,
point.
You just not happy with yourself. They just happen to be in the room.
Yeah.
Catching stray bullets for no reason at all.
Yeah. Responsibility.
And yeah, you end up hurting the people you love and pushing the people you love away.
Yeah.
Because you can't take responsibility for things in your life.
Yeah.
It's an empowering process. And it's a must have when you're talking about spirituality. You can't be spiritual if you don't take the responsibility of it. Of taking care of you spiritually. Like, you can't leave it up to nobody else in this world to be good.
Yeah.
Spiritually. I don't think anybody else has that power to take care of you and take care of themselves equally.
Yeah.
Except God.
I was just thinking about God because that is a word that I strayed away from. It's a entity that I strayed away from, yeah, based off of previous experiences. I had mm-hmm. just seen so many people who claim to be, you know, spiritual, connected to God, or yeah, or religious, and it just rubbed me. I just had a bad taste in my mouth from that. Mm-hmm. But what I really want to say about that is, for me personally, and it doesn't, it, I feel like, however you perceive this higher power, it could be God, it could be Source, it could be higher consciousness, it could be, it's so many different names for it. But I think in order to be connected to self, for me, it's been important to stay connected to the higher power. Because when I think about that, I realize that, you know, this higher power created all of Earth, me, mm-hmm. you, all of us. And it's just really empowering for me as a human being, as a spiritual being. I really be like, damn, I really can do whatever the fuck I want to do.
Facts.
Like, I'm really limitless.
Yes. Long as God agrees, ain't no man alive can stop it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They used to say back in the day, you know, Lord willing. But I feel them on that 100% now. Like, Lord willing, I'm going to do anything. Not, man, If Jay-Z signed me, Jay-Z willing, I'm going to drop it. Nigga, who?
Shut up.
Like, for real, though, like, anybody, it don't matter. If they on earth, it don't matter what they fucking say.
Yeah.
It really don't. Lord willing, God willing, I'm going to get this done. If God says yes, ain't no man can say no.
Exactly. And that, this conversation makes me think about,
I'm hungry, because as soon as you said this conversation makes me think about food came right in my
food. Shut up. I'm we hungry. Gonna eat.
We eat
hold
right
it
now.
Down for the community.
On me. I got it.
I'm hungry too though.
Yes.
But nah, this conversation made me think about how a spiritual journey is an individualistic thing, because we are partners.
Mm-hmm.
We are connected forever. Mm-hmm. And our spiritual practices are different. Like, you know what I'm saying?
It's
you
true.
You're beginning to practice.
I don't know how to call it, but yeah, I'm looking heavy into Islam. I've been reading the Quran heavily for the last year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still a haste being. I'm still, in other words, fucking up all the time.
And I think even when you
become, if
you
if,
still
if
gonna I, be fucking
yeah,
up.
If when I become a Muslim, maybe I'm still gonna be fucking up, because man is hasty, he's the imperfect creature. And Allah knows this. But like you said, this is like, I'm looking into religion. That's not something that you not interested in,
no,
at least right
it's
now.
Not. But the thing about it is, and I know that I've grown as a human being,
mm-hmm.
because it used to be hard for me to, like, anytime I hear anybody talking something religious, I'd be like,
shut the door.
I don't even want to hear, like, my mind literally is closed, so I can tell that I'm becoming more open-minded. And I also respect you enough and I love you enough to allow you to go on your own path and not, mm-hmm. not say things to interrupt this journey that is yours. Because, like, I think praying is a spiritual thing.
Yeah.
When you're praying, that is a spiritual Like when you're literally on your knees praying.
Yeah.
That's a spiritual act. And because of you, I've been able to add things to my journey.
Yeah.
That served me.
Yeah, I have. Like now we pray as a family. It was just me. I pull out my little rug, I pray, and then, you know, my oldest daughter started getting on the rug.
No, I started getting on the rug first. I was like, I wanna.
You got on the rug first, then whoever.
Thank you.
Whatever. You got on it first. My oldest daughter, then like now it's like it's a night routine. They're like, we don't go to sleep until we get on the rug and pray.
All four of us
are on the rug praying every night. You know what I mean? So blending our two beliefs in spirituality together, I do believe that you can have a connection with the higher power without being a part of any type of religious
organization
or anything like that.
Or organized religion.
How you live your life is a religion.
Yeah, how you live your life is a religion. It's a spiritual act. It's a ritual. It's a prayer. Like I said before, when you know who you are, when you're rooted, when you're deeply rooted in self, everything you do is then a spiritual act. Everything you do is then a prayer.
Yes. So, with all this being said and this beautiful conversation we had with you guys today, we are coming to a close. Church is coming to a close. Remember they used to be like, if there's any new members that would like to get up and say anything.
And it was me.
Used to stand up.
Well, not when the pastor asked if, you know, new members, when he was like, does anybody want to give a testimony? I was always giving my testimony.
What did you have to say?
How old
was you?
I was young, like 6.
What?
Like, all the kids had something to say. Like, we was just happy to get up and say something. We was just like,
well, if y'all sit y'all ass down.
We was just like, I'm happy to be here or something like that. I can't really remember specifically.
You had a good church. Keith, us, we ain't say shit. We ready to go.
Yeah, it was the town that my grandma was the mayor in, that's where the church was.
Nah, I was ready to go. I used to be pissed when people stood. I'm like, oh my God.
Well, this wasn't towards the end. Maybe it was. I can't remember.
Well, our church did it at the end.
I can't remember, but yeah, I always had something to say. Me, pastor.
I got something to say, bro. Well, yes, it's come to an end. Lead us out, Pastor Ree.
Is there anything you want to tell the people before we go?
Yes, my new single. It's a good headspace song.
While
I'm bringing it up, it's really a good song.
Nefertiti.
Called Nefertiti. It's out now. I think a really good headspace song. It's a really good vibe. Really good repeater. It's like when you're thinking and you really just need really a vibe. You know what I mean? It set the tone for you.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So go check that out.
Go support.
Yes.
I don't got nothing I want to say. I'm just like my little inner child say, I'm just happy to be here. Just happy to be here. But thank you guys for allowing us into your space. It truly means the absolute world to us. We're sending you so much peace. So much love, so much abundance, and everything you need in this moment. We'll talk to y'all next time. Bye. Say peace.
Peace.
Don't say smooth.
Yeah, somebody got on me about this shit. They ain't hear the peace at the end. So, yeah.
Peace.